Please listen carefully.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focus on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, clearly, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office, can you hear the bird outside Christy's window-worthy podcast. Today is Friday, April 10th, 2020.
And here are today's top solutions.
Oh, Christy, thank goodness it's Friday, and today I am in the mood for some good news. We'll start off with our environment section. Residents of Punjab see top of Himalayas for the first time in 30 years. After 21 days in lockdown to slow the spread of COVID-19, residents in Jalandhar, Punjab were rewarded with a view not seen in 30 years, the top of the Himalayan mountain range. Reduced smog and pollution due to national shutdowns have revealed the tops of the mountains, which residents say haven't been visible to the naked eye for 30 years. Many cities throughout India and the world have reported significantly reduced air pollution levels. The view of the glowing white peaks of the mountain is a testament to the pollution-free skies. Residents in Cagliari, Italy, have reported dolphin sightings. Swans have returned to the canals of Venice. Wild turkeys roam the streets of Northern California, and orcas are venturing further up into Vancouver's Burrell Inlet. Amidst the uncertainty and grief of COVID-19, cleaner air and the resurgence of animal populations are offering an incredible silver lining to these very strange times.
Summers, this is a wonderful story, and it has the positive contagion badge on our website, and I think it deserves it very much because you have to look at what are the potential positives to come out of this, and one of them is this ability for us to experience nature and just landscapes in ways that some people alive never have had the opportunity to do. I didn't realize there were wild turkeys in Northern California.
It's pretty fantastic. I am, you know, every day I take a deep breath. I walk outside my house and I take a deep breath and I see the ocean and I see the clean air and the California mountains on one side and the ocean on the other. And I'm filled with gratitude. Even though this is a really tricky time, our world is a beautiful place and it's going to get better.
I agree. Staying in the environment section, talking about more animals here. One Norwegian town is building aviary hotels to save seabird populations. When the town of Tromsø, Norway, began building more hotels to accommodate flocks of tourists searching for a glimpse of the northern lights, they received some additional and unanticipated guests, seabirds. Seabirds, such as the local kittiwake, have struggled to survive in their natural sea cliff habitats and instead turned to new construction projects as nesting sites. Now, Tani Kristin Jørgensen, a seabird ecologist, and her team are building bird hotels so that these species can safely nest in urban areas. The region's kittiwake population has dropped by 74% since 1980, and this innovative plan could be the area's last chance to save these birds. Climate change, habitat loss, and overfishing have all contributed to the global decline of seabird populations. It isn't completely clear why the kittiwake is migrating to urban areas. Some theories include limited food supply in natural habitats due to warming seas and potential protection from predators. More than 100 kittiwake couples raised their young in Tromsø's downtown last year, including in schools and local bars. The first official kittiwake hotel is an abandoned building near one of the town's harbors. The building really doesn't look like much, but it has plenty of wide concrete ledges to support nesting and is complete with electronic speakers that play kittiwake songs to lure in potential tenants. The hotel doesn't solve the environmental crisis at the root of the issue, but it does offer a safe place for these birds as they choose to move inland as a way for them to more peacefully coexist with the town's residents. And this is an interesting opportunity, Summers, for us to talk about the interaction between the built environment and nature, which we always like to think about as completely separate, that nature should be pristine and undisturbed, but in reality, there's always been a very deep exchange between human-built environment and natural populations. And I'm thinking, for example, of the oil rigs off the coast of California, which have become really productive natural reefs for a lot of species out there. And it's sort of an interesting example of this kind of thing where a human building can provide habitat for creatures that you wouldn't expect to want to live there.
Well, with all of the, with the first story talking about the animals sort of showing up back in these urban environments, as well as the story about the intentional integration, I hope that we're moving into a more holistic perspective of how we work together with nature in this world. And also in a holistic perspective, how our mental health works in the world that we live in. Our next story in the business section is about how to show commitment to the mental health of your employees. If you are a leader at your workplace, then you have the obligation to demonstrate compassion and make time for people when they need it. That's especially the case today at this great time of uncertainty. To help you connect more meaningfully with team members, here are a few simple tips from Michelle Parmley, Chief People and Purpose Officer at Deloitte Global. Keep in touch. Some colleagues may be feeling isolated and anxious during this period of social distancing, so make sure to check in and ensure that they understand that help is available. A quick email or instant message, or better yet, an old-fashioned phone call will help people feel connected. Collaborate to find working arrangements that work. Stress and anxiety from the unknowns we are facing can be made worse by concerns over work and deadlines. So encourage team members to talk about the challenges they face when working from home and collaborate to find solutions. Learn what will work best for them when it comes to the ways and hours they work. And remember the importance of judging on output and not being present or online. Take a step back. Fear can narrow our field of vision, making it harder to see a bigger picture or available options, including positive possibilities in front of us. Acknowledge the anxieties your colleagues may be feeling, reassure them that their feelings are okay, and take time to explore options and positive outcomes of the current situation, like having more family time or saving money on gas. Raise awareness of resources, whether it is tips on remote working or information about employee assistance programs, and make sure your colleagues know how to find relevant resources should they need them. And lastly, ask, are you okay? These three words can make all the difference to someone who may be struggling. I really think that we're trying very hard as a team at the Optimist Daily to keep checking in with all of our colleagues and all of the brilliant staff writers and support people who are pulling this off in unprecedented times. And Christy, I know you and I as the leaders of this organization are determined to check in with our staff. And I hope that they wrote this article because that's what we're doing. But I'm going to continue to commit to doing this more and better.
Yeah, I recently contributed to an article about how good leaders make us feel safe and why that is. And one of the things that stood out to me as we were reading this was a quote from General MacArthur, who was one of the leaders of the American effort in World War II. And one of the things he said was that if you have high morale and a good attitude, it's amazing what things you can accomplish with very little. And I really think that keeping our center and keeping connected is one of the things that's a nice testament to how people are coping in this particular crisis. And I think we all have to stay being connected, not being afraid to ask if you're okay, and not being afraid to ask for help if you need it, I think is really important to remember.
Yeah, I think the beginning of each meeting, the most important question you can ask is not just let's get down to business, but how's everyone doing?
Yeah. And I feel like in our weekly calls or our biweekly calls, people are showing up and really present and really participating in ways that they didn't really before, because we've come together as a team and it feels wonderful to be a part of that kind of team.
And all of you listeners and all of you readers are part of that team. So thank you for contributing to the Optimist Daily.
Yes. All right. Our next story is in the design section of the Optimist Daily. These recycled plastic tracksuits are colored with botanical dyes. Here at the Optimist Daily, we love spreading the word about sustainability-driven clothing brands that are on the mission to drag the fashion industry away from its trajectory that harms the environment. That's why we're happy to present to you Pangaea, an eco-friendly clothing company that creates fabrics that are responsibly made to the benefit of the environment and your wardrobe. The firm's most recent lineup is a tracksuit collection consisting of hoodies and track pants that are not only naturally dyed with plant-derived colors, but whose fabric is also partly made of recycled plastic bottles. And Summers, you and I both know how important our sweatpants have become in today's world when we're all working from home.
Can't live without them. Can't live without them.
The non-toxic natural dyes are made from food waste, plants, fruits, and vegetables to achieve the richly toned hues. For example, the collection's pink tracksuits are colored with a natural dye extracted from roots and rhizomes of a herbaceous perennial plant called Rubia cordifolia. What's more, to help divert billions of clothing articles and plastic bottles from landfills, Pangaea turns discarded plastic, mostly from single-use water bottles, into yarn and then into long-lasting clothing. To add softness and comfort, it combines 45% recycled cotton with 55% organic cotton, grown without damaging pesticides and herbicides that pollute the soil and the water. And on top of it all, to ensure transparency throughout the manufacturing process, each garment tag includes blockchain technology that shows the full history of the garment. Blockchain cannot be altered and provides a record of each stage of the journey with complete traceability and authenticity. These new tracksuits are made in Portugal.
I love how brightly colored and gorgeous they are, too. I think that would add a lift to my at-home wardrobe. Our last story in today's Optimist Daily Update comes from the innovation section. Particle physicists develop new ventilator to help critical COVID-19 cases. While normally concerned with studying the fundamental particles of the universe and the laws of nature, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, also known as CERN, has now put its physicists to the task of developing a ventilator for patients suffering mild cases of coronavirus. CERN is home to the Large Hadron Collider, the world's largest machine meant to examine the universe's tiniest particle. Now, the institution's 18,000-strong workforce is pouring its efforts into coming up with a ventilator system for COVID-19 patients. The aim is to help free up ICU ventilators for more serious cases, as many hospitals around the world are suffering shortages. Having started at the end of March, in the short time that it's been up and running, the task force has come up with developing and patenting a new type of ventilator, created personal protective gear for frontline medical workers and first responders, and even come up with how to make hand sanitizer. On March 27th, the team developed the first stage prototype of a ventilator system they've called HEV, High Energy Ventilator. What's great about HEV is that it can be used in regions where resources such as electricity are scarce because it doesn't use a lot of energy and has the ability to be powered by batteries, solar panels, or an emergency generator. The machine's design could be used for mild COVID-19 cases, thus freeing up more high-end machines for those in critical condition. The next step for the team are to find clinicians who will test their device in a hospital setting. This is another promising step forward in the battle against the coronavirus. And guys, it's been a week, man. It is Friday, and I hope everyone has a lovely weekend. The Optimist Daily is publishing stories on the weekend, but you won't hear from Christy and I again until Monday. So please check in with us and let us know how you're doing.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. As always, we promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure that it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com, and for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism like this. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Thanks so much, Summers, and thanks everybody for listening.
Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks.